This is Cedric Forster reporting to you from Boston and happy once more to be back home in New England, no longer having to sweat it out. Though I understand that the heat wave which gripped the Middle West last week is now on its way back east. Today in Washington, there came an abrupt ending to the hearings before the Senate subcommittee, which has been investigating the war contracts which were awarded to Howard Hughes. The Mutual Newsroom in the nation's capital had its microphones up on the Hill today to record the actual words which were spoken this morning. And so, for a concluding report on the Hughes investigation, which has been under the leadership of Senators Brewster and Ferguson, Republicans from Maine and Michigan, we take you now to Washington.
This is Arthur Gates speaking from Washington. Those of us who had seen the atmosphere at the Senate War Investigating Committee for the past few days could perceive that the committee was not getting anywhere fast on the major issue, that there was something wrong with the manner in which Howard Hughes had obtained his $40 million in government contracts. Therefore, we were not surprised at the bombshell which Senator Ferguson dropped into the opening of the hearings this morning.
It is therefore the decision of the committee at the present time to continue the hearings of this matter, and it's after conferring with the members of the subcommittee. Apparently, no definite date could be obtained until the 17th day of November. That might appear to be a long time, but it's the earliest possible date. An attempt will be to serve Mr. Mars with a subpoena for that particular date, and that's the reason for setting down a date. All of the members of the committee have their work to do. Some are going to leave the country for a six-week period. Other hearings are scheduled, and the earliest possible date is the 17th day of November, 1947. That is a definite date. These hearings are merely being recessed until that time because it is impossible to proceed. The hearings are adjourned until the 17th day of November, 1947.
After the hearings had been adjourned, Mr. Hughes made the following exclusive radio statement into the Mutual microphone.
I have been asked why this hearing was called off. I think the answer is very simple. This hearing was called off because the people of this country render the final decision in any controversy. The public is the final judge. It was very obvious from the first moment that I walked in this room that every man and woman in the audience and every member of the press was behind me. They believed that there was no reason for this investigation in the first place. When Senator Brewster realized that he was fighting a battle against public opinion, a losing battle, he folded up and took a runout powder. Yes, that was the tip-off. When Senator Brewster hit the road for the backwoods of Maine, that meant the hearing was over. Washington was too hot for him. He couldn't take it. After that, the other senators in this committee saw no reason why they should fight Brewster's losing battle for him if he was too cowardly to remain and face the music. They saw no reason to carry his banner against an overwhelming avalanche of public opinion. It's a strange thing. When this investigation began, I thought my reputation was going to be dragged through the mud. But because the American people believe in fair play and because they have supported me, I find I have emerged with more friends than I ever had before in my life. And I want to thank the people of this country, and I want to thank the gentlemen of the press here.
At the conclusion of that statement, Mr. Hughes turned to his legal counsel, Tom Slack, with a query, "Do you find anything libelous in that?" Slack's curt reply was, "No."
We return you to Cedric Forster in...
Well, this is Cedric Forster reporting to you back again in Boston, and so the Hughes hearings in Washington have been recessed until next November. In an executive meeting in London today, which of course is a secret session, the members of Britain's Labour Party voted to approve Attlee's decision to defer the nationalisation of the steel industry in the British Isles, to postpone it for perhaps the duration of the economic crisis. The meeting today was in the form of a party caucus. It was reported by a socialist informant that 100 Labourites abstained from the voting, and the result of that was that Clement Attlee's proposal was victorious by only 4 votes, 81 to 77. That was sufficient, however, to bring about the withdrawal of a resolution which had demanded that the government take over the steel industry when Parliament reconvened for its next session in October. One faction in that Labour Party caucus, it was said today, called for an immediate resumption of trade negotiations between Great Britain and the Soviet Union. That brought a reply from Sir Stafford Cripps, President of the Board of Trade, a reply from Cripps that the next move was up to the Russians. And other members of the Labour Party called for more drastic reduction in the British armed forces than Attlee had been willing to recommend. The government answered those critics in the caucus by saying that everything that could be done was being done in order to effect the necessary cuts in the British Army, Navy, and Air Force. A government spokesman said to the caucus that the government had no intention of giving up its plan to nationalize the steel mills. It was the belief of the government, however, that the cabinet should be left unhampered in its choice of an appropriate time to put this plan into effect.